Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me ask you if you know who originally asked this question, which will be the subject of our next two studies. I'm asking the question of those who study the Bible because those who haven't studied the Bible wouldn't have the slightest idea. But to those of you who have read from the Old Testament, we find this question: can we find such a man as this? Who was it that asked that question? Well, the subject is taken from this question that was asked by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he asked it in the midst of the biblically recorded events about Joseph and his interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. The Pharaoh had dreamed a dream of seven lean cattle devouring seven fat cattle, but they grew no fatter. He also saw seven lean ears of grain devour seven full ears of grain, and they grew no fatter. And he was disturbed at this, and he didn't know what it meant. Well, Joseph interpreted those dreams for him, and he prophesied about how there would be 7 years of plenty that would come upon Egypt, and then there would be 7 years of famine. The life of Joseph, it is such an interesting life, and we see the providence of God in operation in the life of Joseph. Now, the reason that Joseph was brought into the presence of Pharaoh to interpret the dream was because he had been sold as a slave by his brothers to some Midianites who took him down into Egypt. And a whole series of events took place in the life of Joseph. He went from the time of being in Potiphar's house, and later on in prison, and then later he becomes in association with Pharaoh. And he even does eventually rise to be the second or the highest-ranking official in all of Egypt. But this interpretation took place because of some things that had happened to him while he was in prison. But the question that we have in mind, can we find such a one as this? It followed the interpretation that Joseph gave. And he gave some advice to Pharaoh that during the years of plenty, when the years that the supplies were produced, why, they should be spared, they should be preserved, they should be set aside, they should be cared for, so that during the years of famine there would be an adequacy, there were these years of scarcity that was sure to come. And Joseph suggested the appointment of a man over the entire operation of preserving the fruits of the good years, those 7 good years. And he described the kind of man that really ought to be appointed, a man that was wise, a man that was discreet, a man that could properly execute the work that had to be done. And Joseph, though he was a relatively young man at this time, he gave words of wisdom to this king, Pharaoh. Now keep in mind, this Pharaoh, he was not an enemy of the people of Israel, like the Pharaoh later on, we read about him, he was an enemy of the people of Israel. But this Pharaoh seemed to have an affiliation and an association with Jacob and his people later on, that there was a friendliness between them. And so Pharaoh, upon hearing this advice and having the dream interpreted as to what it would mean, he said, "Can we find such a man as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" You know, I read that, and it makes me wonder if this Pharaoh believed in God, the true God. Now, he no doubt believed in a lot of the other gods of Egypt. The Egyptian had gods to almost everything. And this Pharaoh may have heard of the true and living God in some shape, form, or fashion. At least he thought the man that Joseph was describing would be a man who had the Spirit of God. God would be in fellowship with him and him with God. Can we find such a man as this? Well, Pharaoh then determined that Joseph was just such a man. He said, "None are so discreet and wise as thou art." And he appointed Joseph over this matter. Now, this appointment brought Joseph out of prison and brought him, as I said, to be the second highest ranking official in all the land of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh was the king of that country, and doubtless he made many appointments, and he, of course, had to make many decisions during his rule. But there was none more excellent than his selection of Joseph here, a man who was ruled and governed by the word and will of God, as would be directed by the Spirit. He made a good selection in selecting Joseph, one who had the attitude and disposition to be subject to deity and who would serve the king well and serve the nation well. You see, Joseph was a person of exceptional character. And I want us to take a look at this character. Now, we're not just concerned about the character of Joseph, friend. We certainly hold Joseph in admiration and exaltation. He was one of the outstanding Old Testament people of God. We find less criticism about Joseph maybe than almost anybody in the Old Testament. But his character, we want to learn it. But why? Because we see that here is something that we need to imitate, that we need to strive to develop as well as Joseph had these things. For you see, proper character, you aren't born with it. You have to grow that character. You have to develop your character. Your character is formed. And it's displayed in times of adversity, but it's also displayed in times of prosperity. And Joseph's life was a life where there was adversity and prosperity. His life was swinging from one extreme situation to another. In all of the circumstances, however, whether he was in a favorable condition or an unfavorable condition, he formed and displayed a good character. Now, as we look at the life and read the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, one moment we see that he was a petted and pampered favorite son. He was the object of partiality. Well, this is certainly where Jacob, his father, made a serious mistake concerning the sons that he had. But he showed partiality to Joseph, and Joseph had the coat of many colors, and he stayed around the tent. He did not have to bear the burdens of work like the other brothers had to do, and he certainly had dreams himself of certain things that showed his superiority to be over his brothers, and he wasn't hesitant to tell his father and his brothers about these dreams, and that didn't go over well with them. But from this pampered favorite son situation, we next find him at the bottom of a pit, placed there by his brothers. Now, that was a turnaround in his life, was it not? And once he was sold as a slave to the Midianites, and later on, he was sold to the household of Potiphar, an Egyptian authority man. And later, due to the good qualities of Joseph, why, he was raised to be the master over the household of Potiphar. But things didn't go well always there. Potiphar's wife accused him of certain things of immorality, things that Joseph did not do. But yet Potiphar believed the lies that Potiphar's wife told about Joseph, and Joseph was cast in prison. Well, certainly his fortune went from head of the household of Potiphar to now being a prisoner. But in prison, his qualities must have been observed and recognized, because he soon became chief prisoner. He was the man in charge of all of the other prisoners, though he himself was a prisoner. And in prison, he interpreted the dream of two of the servants of Pharaoh. And these dreams were that one of them, his baker, would be put to death, and his other, his butler, why, he would be restored from the prison back into the service of Pharaoh. And these things came to take place just exactly as Joseph said that they would. And when the butler returned to the service of Pharaoh, Joseph made a request. "Remember me to Pharaoh." He didn't feel like he belonged there in prison. He wanted to be released. All he was just asking a favor, that Pharaoh might relieve him. But he was forgotten. The butler did not even remember Joseph. He did not take Joseph before the Pharaoh. But nonetheless, when Pharaoh had his dreams and nobody could interpret them, Joseph could. And we see that he rose to the power of second only to Pharaoh himself. Now let's see if we can agree that Joseph was the kind of quality person that Pharaoh thought he was to be. I want to first suggest to you that Joseph is an example of obedience to his father. You know, we live in a time when many young people evidently think that disregarding and disrespecting and even disobeying parents, that's the sort of end thing. Oh, I know they're breaking out for their independence. But we might admit that parents maybe sometimes are to blame for the development of this attitude. But that's another subject and worthy of consideration. But God told the Israelites when he came to Mount Sinai to honor thy father and the mother. Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." In the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul described the vile conditions of the Gentiles who had cast off God, and he listed some 23 different sins specifically of which they were guilty, and among them was characteristic, they were disobedient to parents. Young people need to be taught to obey their parents. Joseph was respectful and obedient to his father. Joseph was instructed by his father to inquire of the welfare of his brothers who were taking care of the flocks. If ever a son might have balked at his father's directions, this could have been the time. Joseph's brothers hated him, and obedience to his father would place Joseph at their mercy and their disposal. How did he respond to the direction of his father? He said, "Here am I." He meant his willingness to go and to do whatever his father asked. Oh, there are many distressing events that followed in the life of Joseph because of what happened to him, because he obeyed his father. But you never do read of any regret for having been obedient to his father. Can we find such a man as this? Well, in our next lesson, we'll see some other qualities of Joseph. Until then, this is a burning fire. Until next time.